Ocean FM.
Hello and welcome to Arts Northwest. We're Gaeth Falchukati Arts Northwest, a Craila o Unad Atlanta, a Dlunini Rourke, broadcasting from the Glens Arts Centre in Manor Hamilton with myself, Brendan Murray, and on sound, Mark Gavin. Later on, we'll be hearing from Craig Cox, who give us the weekly roundup on what's on in the Northwest area. And he'll also be talking to John Buckley about his commissioned work with Combrio. We'll also be talking to two of the actors in Gerry Farrell's new play, which is called The Last Prime Minister, coming up here at the Glens the weekend after next. But first, on this week's show, that the DOC will be presenting with Leitrim County Council, the Leitrim Arts Office, the Iron Mountain Festival 2022, which is back after a 2 or 3 year break because of COVID. And it's a wonderful tagline, which this year it's new voices, classic stories, the weave of Stray and Haw, urban renewal and the challenges facing migrant populations. So it's on this weekend, tomorrow, October 7th to Sunday, October 9th. It features just a wonderful lineup: Bernard McLaverty, Louise Kennedy, who's I've just had the pleasure of finishing her new novel, Trespasses, absolutely wonderful. Actor Barry McGovern, singer-songwriter Lisa O'Neill. And our guest is Australian rapper-poet Omar Musa. You're very welcome, Omar.
Hey, thank you so much for having me.
Your name, obviously, is not immediately Western. You're of Asian, Southeast Asian extraction, is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. My father is from the island of Borneo, shared by Malaysia, Indonesia, and Brunei. But my mother is of Irish extraction.
Wow.
And grew up in country New South Wales. And on one side, the Duff family is from County Down, where I visited recently. And then the other side, the Duns from Tipperary. So, yeah, a few weeks ago, actually, it was a few months ago now. Well, had the pleasure of exploring that for the first time.
Brilliant. So you're a true internationalist. Wonderful. So tell us, Omar, you grew up in Australia, but of course your links to Borneo, we won't talk about the Irish links now because I know your work is very engaged with the colonial history of Southeast Asia.
Right, it is, yeah. Well, I was born and raised in Australia. I grew up in a small town called Queanbeyan, New South Wales, which is just outside of the capital of Australia, Canberra, and I grew up in an artistic family with a father who was a poet and an actor from Borneo, and my mother was an arts journalist and previously a theatre director. So I grew up in a family that really encouraged the arts and especially poetry.
Well, that certainly comes across because, you had a novel which was longlisted for the International Dublin Literary Award, the biggest literary award in the world in terms of its financial impact. And it's called Here Come the Dogs in 2015. You've released 4 hip-hop albums, 4 books of poetry,
yep,
and you've did a one-man play since Ali died. Do you ever take time off? So tell us, What can we expect at the Iron Mountain Festival?
Well, I'm going to be chatting with Vincent Woods, who's a dear friend of mine. Actually, a new friend whose goddaughter, Maeve, a friend of mine from Sydney, set me up with a couple of months ago.
Well, of course, Vincent is well
known. Last-minute trip.
He's well known in this parish, of course, one of Leitrim's most talented and famous sons. Yeah,
so I'll be chatting with him about poetry, but then I'll also be excited to be performing poetry. And I like to bring a whole breadth of different styles, stuff that touches on the kind of my Malaysian heritage, but also stuff that's a bit more hip-hoppy. And then obviously I bring quite an Australian flavour to it all. So I like to mix it all up into a crazy, chaotic melange of styles.
Well, I love you saying performing poetry. Yeah, brilliant. But in terms of, and I refer to you earlier, if you like, as an internationalist, which is wonderful because I grew up in an Ireland that was fairly parochial. But you know, my own 2 children, one lives in America, one lives in Africa. You know, that's the way the world has gone. In terms of how it impacts upon your work, How has that been? You're talking about your Irish connections, your Southeast Asian, yet you grew up in Australia. And Australia, of course, is one of the original, you know, multicultural melting pots.
I grew up in between worlds, you know, in between Asian and Australian, in between Muslim and secular, even country and city. And I think that kind of liminal space and that hyphenated identity sort of reflects itself in my work, where I see a sort of borderlessness between genres, you know, so I don't mind dipping in and out of stuff that's more theatrical, stuff that's on the page, things that are informed obviously by hip hop as well. So I like that idea of kind of melting borders between genres and identities in a world that likes to box us in and kind of essentialize us.
That's a nice way of putting it. I was listening to a wonderful interview this week with singer-songwriter Paul Brady, and he was talking about how he was being boxed in the 70s and 80s, and it wasn't until he got into his, you know, late 30s that he realised, hang on, I can play anything I bloody well want, you know, and that's what we do, isn't it? But I think, you know, looking at your work and you know, maybe Australia has been out there in terms of allowing all these cross-disciplinary work from artists and that you're not pigeonholed.
Yeah, I mean, potentially, although I would say that Australia is a place that likes to pigeonhole people. And I
suppose all societies
a lot of that
do.
Growing up. Yeah, definitely. But I guess I've taken a lead more from Southeast Asia, a place where there's, because it's, you know, in its nature, an archipelago of thousands of islands where there's been a lot of cross-pollination of ideas and trade for thousands of years. And I've taken a lead from that, especially recently, where I've been using a lot of woodcuts and visual arts practice and combining it with my poetry. I've kind of taken that from my Bornean heritage because, I mean, wood carving is traditionally something that a lot of tribes in Borneo did, but now it's kind of been remixed in this activist kind of environmental art form where a lot of punk rockers and people protesting government corruption and the logging industry have used it, you know, as an art form to promote social change. And so I've taken a leaf out of that book and now sort of, you know, gone out into visual arts practice and combined it with the poetry. So, I'd say recently I've been taking a lead more from my Southeast Asian heritage than my Australian heritage.
Wow, fantastic. So Omar Musa, the Bornean Australian author, visual artist and poet, will be talking to Vincent Woods about his debut novel, Here Come the Dogs, and he'll be doing some of his performance poetry at 2:40 this coming Saturday as part of the Iron Mountain Festival. And later on, Craig will run through the whole programme of Iron Mountain or give at least a resume of it. Omar, an absolute pleasure and every good fortune and best wishes in the coming years.
Thank you so much. I look forward to meeting you all over there in a few days. The living and the dead. Necromancy's a hard game, especially when the person you're communicating with isn't dead yet. It's a fraught art, like a wedding in a meth lab, a baptism in a smokehouse, chiseling apart your skeleton to make dice of bone, or using a border as a skip rope. She left a crescent moon on my shoulder, but no one prayed beneath it. He told me that COVID was punishment for our collective sins, but I left him on red. Through the elliptical lens of a dewdrop, we all look about the same. The living and the dead.
That was Omar Musa reading his poem The Living and the Dead, which is from his latest collection, Killer Nova. And again, he is featured in the Iron Mountain Festival that's happening this weekend in the dock in Carrick-on-Shannon. Brendan already covered quite a bit of what's going on in the programme for the weekend, but just to say there's also a talk by Sally Hayden, the Irish Times journalist, on her book My Fourth Time We Drowned, as well as features on the architecture of Irish towns, an exhibition of mummer costumes, and alongside the concert on Saturday evening by Lisa O'Neill, on the Sunday there's a concert by local singer and folklorist Fionnuala Maxwell, and she's joined by Brian Layden and Piper John Toohey. There's a huge programme of events that we won't get through here, but a reminder that it's from tomorrow, Friday the 7th, straight through to Sunday the 9th, and all the information can be found at ironmountainfestival.ie or at the DOCS website. And just to cover, there's a few more festivals on this weekend to quickly go through them. So just a reminder, we spoke about it last week, but the Fermanagh Live Arts Festival is also on this weekend. It's from today, from Thursday the 6th until Sunday the 9th, all around the town, and there's a huge programme of events going on there, and that can be found at flive.org.co.uk. And one more festival this weekend is the Change Your Mind Festival, which is in the Hawkswell. That's on Sunday, 9th of October. It's all day, and it's a one-day festival that promotes positive mental health and has a variety of talks and performances all around that subject. All events in that are free, and information about it can be found from the Hawkswell's website. And now, just to go on and cover what else is on over the course of the coming week, we'll start out with theatre and screenings that are on right now. And in Abbey Arts Centre, in the Abbey Arts Centre in Ballyshannon, we said it last week, but just to say again, this Saturday on October the 8th at 8 p.m. is the show Off the Meter on the Record. And that's a one-man show where John McDonough, who is was a New York taxi driver, just speaks about his life in the city. Tickets for that are €15 and they can be gotten from abbeycentre.ie. And then at the Hawkswell, on Wednesday, the 12th of October, so that's next week, we have the children's theatre show I Wish I Was a Mountain. That's a reimagining of Hermann Hesse's classic fairy tale that combines rhyme, live music, and a hint of metaphysical philosophy, apparently. Times for that are 10 a.m. for schools and 4 p.m. for families, and tickets are €6. And then on Thursday, the 13th of October, again in the Hawkswell, at 8 p.m. is the show Dolly and Mick. This is written by Seamus Moran, and it's described as a play with songs. And it's about a musical double act coming to terms with the potential end of their relationship. Tickets for that are €18 and 15 concession. Then here in Manor Hamilton in the Glens, we have on Thursday the 13th, so that's next week, at 8 p.m. we have the show You Are Not My Mother. Well, this is a film, sorry. It's the latest installment of the 12% Cine Club season. And that's a season of films made by women. And in this one, it's director Kate Dolan's featured debut, and it's about dysfunctional family life, mental illness, and the myth of the changeling. And these are all explored in a genre-bending psychological drama. Tickets for that are €7 and €5 concession. And then on Friday the 14th and Saturday the 15th of October at 8 p.m, we'll have the show The Last Prime Minister of Ireland. This is Sploder Theatre's newest production, and we will actually have an interview with Sploder later on in the show speaking all about that. But tickets for that are €17 and 14 concession and can be gotten from theglenscentre.com. Then moving on to gigs in the Ballard Arts Centre. This Saturday the 8th at 8 p.m, the Annie Keating Band is playing. That's kind of folk and Americana, and that's tickets for that are €15. And then on Sunday the 9th at 8 p.m, the comedian Deirdre O'Kane will be performing. Tickets for that show are €22. Then in the Hawkswell in Sligo, we have the final two nights of Ciarán Quinn's theme nights. So this is number 30 musicals. The first night is this evening on Thursday, but it's also Friday and Saturday. Tickets for that are €30 or 15 if you're under 18. And then next Wednesday the 12th at 1 p.m, we have the next in the Locals at Lunchtime series. This time it's led by singer Michelle Feeney, who will present a snippet of her in-development project, Rearranged, and that's free. And then next weekend, on Friday the 14th at 8 p.m, comedian David O'Doherty is performing. Tickets for his show are €22. On Sunday the 16th, there's two gigs by the same group. So in the afternoon at 2:30, we have the Banjo Babies concert. This is a concert for children, or for infants really, performed by Ron Block and Damien O'Kane. Tickets for that are €10 for parent and baby. But then Ron Block and Damien O'Kane will play an adults concert that evening at 8 p.m. And they're a banjo duo, and they kind of combine tenor and bluegrass styles. And they are supported by Aoife Scott and Andy Meaney. Tickets for the evening concert are €20 and €10 for under 10s. Then gigs that are on in the Dock in Carrick-on-Shannon, Sunday the 9th at 8 p.m, Deirdre O'Kane is playing there as well. That's tickets for that are €20. And then next weekend on Saturday the 15th at 8 p.m, the Evlana Ensemble are playing. This is a chamber music group, and their concert is titled Ondine, Ravel and Beyond. And it basically begins with the piece of music Ondine by Ravel, and then follows a program of works that take inspiration from the same myth. And tickets for that are €18 or 16 concession. And then finally, in terms of gigs that we have going on, there is in the Model tomorrow, Friday the 7th of October at 8 p.m. we spoke about this last week, Clara Jumi Kang and Sunwook Kim are performing. This is the first concert in Combrio's 2022-23 winter program, and we'll actually be speaking to one of the feature composers next on the show, so we'll get to that afterwards. But just to remind you that tickets are €20 for this or €10 for students, and you can visit themodel.ie or con-brio.org for information about the full program going ahead. On Saturday the 15th, so next weekend, in The Model again, The Crash Ensemble are playing. So they're Ireland's leading new music ensemble, and they'll be playing a selection of works commissioned during lockdown by Irish and international composers. And simultaneous to that, on in the exhibition space in The Model, there is a work commissioned by The Crash Ensemble by video artist Jack Phelan that's responding to a piece that they commissioned before. So tickets for the concert are €15, 10 concession, and for the exhibition it's free to attend, and that exhibition is open until October the 29th. And just a reminder that for a comprehensive list of gigs, sessions and open mics in Sligo, go to the website sligomusicians.com. That covers everything that I couldn't cover here. Then, just moving on quickly, in the Leitrim Sculpture Centre, there's a workshop coming up this weekend, Saturday the 8th and Sunday the 9th. It's Understanding Glazing, and it's more of a masterclass for artists led by Elaine Harrington. Tickets for that are €120. But the Leitrim Sculpture Centre also has its open call for exhibition residencies for 2023. That's open right now. The deadline for applications for that is Monday the 24th. The residencies are 8 weeks long with a €4,000 artist fee, and it will end in an exhibition. And you can get info at leitrimsculpturecentre.ie. And just while we're talking about workshops and that kind of thing, Sligo Central Library has announced their programme of workshops over the next 2 months. So this Saturday coming on the 8th at 2 p.m, they have memoirist Michael P. McDonald, and he'll lead a workshop in trauma-informed storytelling. On Saturday the 22nd at 2 p.m, poet Mary Branley will help poets to develop and refine their unique writers' voices. And then on Sunday the 6th of November at 2 p.m, Professor Linda Connolly will draw from her research on women's experiences of partition to help participants in exploring hidden histories and inconvenient truths. All of these workshops are free, but the places are very limited. So if you want to book a place on one of them, just contact Patricia Keane. That's pkeane at sligococo.ie to book attendance. And also, if you have any events that you would like to be included in our What's On section every week, just email us at artsnorthwest@theglenscentre.com, and we'll try to include it in the show. Thanks very much. So as I just mentioned in the What's On section, tomorrow, Friday the 7th, is the first concert in Combrio's winter programme. Just as a reminder, Combrio are the organisation in Sligo for the promotion of chamber music. They have a whole programme announced, but tomorrow the concert focuses specifically on works for violin and piano. Tomorrow's concert is actually also organised with Music Network. And Music Network are Ireland's national music touring and development organisation, and they have actually commissioned composer John Buckley to write a new work for the concert tomorrow. The piece that we just heard there is an older piece by John. We actually have John here on the line with us to speak about that. How's it going, John?
Very good, Craig. Thank you. Nice to be in touch.
Yeah, thanks very much for coming on to the show. So if want to start out, maybe you could just describe the piece that you've written tomorrow, you know, maybe thematic concerns and just what people could expect.
Sure. Well, first of all, it's a rather short piece, somewhere between 5 and 6 minutes. So it can kind of fit into any sort of program, really, no matter what else is going on around it. It's for violin and piano. The title is very simple. It's just called Duo.
Okay.
Which may seem a little bit obvious since two instruments are playing, but I had further implications on the word duo, namely that there's a strong sense of dialogue or interaction between the two instruments,
yeah.
A strong sense of engagement, responding gestures. For example, the violin will play something and the piano will respond as if giving a commentary on it, and in return the violin will respond to what the piano plays.
And when you say that, that kind of back and forth and commentary, do you mean like kind of melodic variation, or is it something different to that?
It's a bit of both. They're not exactly playing the same material, so they speak with different voices.
Okay.
The violin and piano are clearly two quite distinctive instruments, both adding to the sense of dialogue. So the violin will play maybe a strong, tuneful, melodic phrase, and the piano will answer with a more flamboyant gesture, perhaps.
Okay.
So they're not always just kind of interacting in the sense of imitating each other.
And did you find, because obviously it's part of a program of works for violin and piano, which is quite an established arrangement of instrumental voices, and do you find yourself, when you're writing for an arrangement like that, are you trying to find new methods within the combination of instruments, or are you just going for whatever feels natural for the piece itself?
Do you know, I'm not one that's overtly drawn towards novelty for its own sake.
Okay.
I've written a great deal of music for violin and piano over the years where I've exploited various techniques and so on, but this piece is more or less straightforward. It's traditional in that sense, not that it's using traditional melodies and harmonies, but in the sense of the flow and the interaction of the two parts.
Yeah.
I'm not looking for novelty of sound effects, more to create a piece that has a sense of ebb and flow in it, I think.
Okay, and how do you think it will sit in the program with the rest of the program works? Because I know that the concert begins with, I think, Beethoven's Violin Sonata in A.
Yeah, that's quite interesting. Of course, concert programs such as this are put together from a variety of different sources.
Hmm.
I mean, the piece by César Franck, for example, does not belong to the same language as Beethoven, and the piece by Respighi doesn't either.
Yeah.
So the three pieces are assembled, providing a contrast but also a good balance with each other. And in that context, I knew what the program would be, of course, in which the piece of mine would be first done, but perhaps in other concerts it would be done with other pieces. So it has to fit in with what else is going on around it.
Yeah.
And it provides, in this particular program, it provides a kind of a contrast, but also a sort of a sense of continuity, because I quite often, when I'm writing for, say, violin or piano, write out of the tradition, out of the historical majestic tradition that there is for those instruments.
Yeah. And do you feel were you aware of the program in advance, or it's just by chance or by curation of whoever organized the program of works that it
No, I was aware of the program in advance.
Okay.
And I was asked to just create a short piece. That's the only instruction or direction I was given by the Music Network, was to create a short piece that somehow would fit into the program.
Oh, okay.
I'm still not sure which part of the program it's going to be in, actually.
Okay, and is there any referencing of the other pieces, or it's
there just... are absolutely no referencing of any of the other pieces, in the way that the César Franck or the Respighi make no reference to the Beethoven.
Okay.
So there are no references. It just has to provide a place, more or less, within the overall structure of the concert. But, you know, most concerts nowadays, most classical concerts, are kind of like that, symphony concerts. There's no necessarily any cross-referencing, unless the concert happens to be by one composer.
Yeah.
But quite often, you know, three or even four composers could be involved in a concert, and the pieces have to kind of hang together and shadow each other and create a balance,
yeah,
rather than necessarily be self-referential.
And so in regards to the work itself is sitting within your own body of work, like, how representative is it of, like, you as a composer at the moment? Because you've had, you know, quite a long and varied career, and you've written for large, small, solo instrumentalists.
Well, I have. I think it's fitting in with the type of music I've been writing over the last 10 or 15 years.
In that?
Firstly, I've been writing a lot of chamber music recently. It's been about 12 years since I've written an orchestral piece, so I'm about to start one quite soon. But I've been writing a lot for solo violin and for solo piano. But curiously enough, this is the first time that I've written for the two together.
Okay.
But it is fitting in with that kind of idea of the interaction of parts that I mentioned. It's a piece of chamber music. The things that I like to exploit, I suppose, would be a combination of virtuosity,
mm-hmm,
lyricism, but with flamboyant dramatic gestures also thrown into the mix, so to speak.
And how much you work kind of directly with certain instrumentalists. From what I can see in your past, like you know, William Dowdall on flute.
Yes.
And so were you aware of the playing styles of the two performers of the concert this Friday?
Yes, I was, though I have yet to meet them.
Okay.
There's a lot on YouTube of their videos. They're both two outstanding world ranking musicians, of course, so they're well covered on both CD and on various YouTube videos. I watched quite a lot of that just to get a sense of their style, and I tried to make the piece, I think, in keeping with that, you know.
Okay.
They have a great sense of virtuosity, but they have a wonderful sense of lyricism as well, and a very deep way of interpreting the music that they play.
Brilliant. Well, so I'll actually be at the concert.
I tried to put all those into the mix, so to speak, when writing this short piece.
I'll be at the concert myself, so I really look forward to hearing it. And just to remind everybody, the concert is tomorrow. It's performed by Clara and Jumi Kang on violin and Sunwook Kim. It's in the Model. Tickets can be gotten from themodel.ie or through con-brio.org. I forgot to mention earlier on, but the piece that we led in with is titled A Few Notes for Jim. Is that correct?
That's correct, yeah.
And thank you very much for speaking to us, John.
It's a pleasure, Craig. Thank you.
Many thanks to Craig Cox there, and thanks to Mark Gavin on sound. We're finishing up now with another piece from Con Brio. It's a Beethoven Sonata number 1 in D major. Don't forget, they're on tomorrow, October the 7th, and this show will go out again on Sunday at 8 p.m. So lest there be any confusion there. Wemsha Brendan Murray, Brigade Slán. Thanks to Pubble, the Arts Council and Leitrim County Council for their continued support. This show is available on all podcast platforms or through Ocean FM if you missed out on any of it. Slán live. Thank you.